We're live.
Good morning. Welcome to Pathways Podcast. Apparently, I'm too loud, so I'm going to try to tone it down.
I'm too quiet, so I had to take the end of my microphone off.
Apparently,
so
I bleed over into Marcy's
mic. That's the first
mic.
Time I have so ever had that feedback.
You know, I'm not too loud.
Ever.
I'm not too quiet. I'm just right.
No.
Hey, episode 122.
122. Let's talk about another thing that's all about Aaron. So this is funny. So last week on the podcast, Aaron got us t-shirts,
yes.
Pathways Podcast t-shirts for our birthdays. And they're amazing. So I actually wore mine today.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really cold outside. And so I was like, clearly I have to layer because it's cold.
Okay.
So I put on my layers and... If you're watching, you can see this. So this is what it looks like.
Aaron's face is out.
It's Aaron.
Yeah.
So the funny part is, though, I showed
I don't know who that
morning.
Is. It's a red-haired guy with no gray. That ain't Aaron.
There's no rose gold in the beard.
Aaron. That's Aaron when he first started on the podcast.
That's right. Yes, he's a little grayer now. But so I showed this to Trisha this morning. I was like, I was going to layer. And then I was like, nope, it's just Aaron. That doesn't work. And she was like, now you really get the birthday gift.
I positioned it just right. So only I would be showing through
layers.
An unzipped coat.
That's right. It doesn't work with layers.
Well, thanks for at least... Sporting your birthday gift.
Yeah, that's right. I know.
I see you haven't washed it yet.
No, be careful when you wash.
Yeah.
So, colors. Be careful when you wash.
It's flaking off.
The colors will crack off.
I'm not very happy.
Oh, really?
So, if you notice that,
gentle
please let
cycle.
Me know. I've already sent an email to the company and told them
he's
to stand
on
by
that.
Before fixing anything.
That's right.
Because the others need to wash it to see if they have the same problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, I'm that's glad
good.
You're enjoying it.
Yeah, so... Got my
I'll get around to wearing mine eventually.
Yeah. Happy birthday, guys.
Thanks.
Yesterday. Yep.
The day
Not
before.
Yesterday.
Monday.
Man, my days just run together.
Yes, they do. Yep. Monday was the big day. So,
yep.
Had a big birthday on Monday.
And I totally missed my dad's birthday yesterday.
Oh.
That's terrible.
Your dad's birthday was yesterday. Trisha told us that your dad's birthday was yesterday, so...
Doggone it.
Happy birthday to Leland.
Nope. One
That's
day
right.
late.
Yep. You'll have to call and wish him happy birthday today and apologize for forgetting.
I feel like all my days are running together and I'm just from one thing to the next. Anyway.
How was your birthday, Steve?
It's great.
He looks very enthused.
I mean, it was, you know, I had a lot of things. It was probably one of the busiest Mondays I've had in quite some time.
Yeah.
So I just had a lot of things I had to do.
Did your kids call and wish you a happy birthday?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All my children remembered my birthday.
That's what good kids do.
Ouch.
That's what good kids do. They remember your birthday.
Did Trisha call your dad and wish him happy birthday?
If she did.
She won bonus points.
Yeah. She represented
I'll tell you the one single greatest thing ever done. So if there's one redeeming value of Facebook is that it reminds you of when people's birthdays are.
That is true.
It's a good thing.
That is true. Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Helps you keep track
yep.
of birthdays.
Yep.
Well, so. Did you guys go, you made a bunk cake for your birthday.
I did make a bunk cake for my birthday. I wish I had the picture. So
it's bunt.
Bunt.
Right? Not bunk.
B-U-N-D-T. It's a bunt cake.
Bunt.
Bunk cake.
It sounds like you're saying bunk. Okay, it sounds like you're saying bunk.
Okay. So here's the story with the bunk cake. So I got a bunk cake pan for Christmas because I really wanted one and I had not used the bunk cake pan yet. So I was like, for my birthday, I am going to make a bunk cake. And Todd's like, do you want me to make this for you? Like, I feel like I should be making the birthday cake for you. And I'm like, no, I don't want you to make this because everything you make is good. And I want to make it. And
for my birthday, I want something good by me.
That's right. And so he was like, all right, that's fine. You make your own bunk cake. So I did, and I made it on Sunday, which the birthday was on Monday. So mm-hmm. I made the cake on Sunday. And then I was like, I'm just going to leave it because if I take it out of the pan, then I have to frost it.
Ooh.
And it's like, I don't really have a cake pan with a cover for it. So then how do you cover it? And how do you, like, if you frost it? So
you
I was
just
like,
eat it.
But I made it on Sunday and the birthday was on Monday. So I had to wait.
But you left it in the pan.
I left it in the pan.
This sounds like disaster.
It was disaster. So then by the time that you, here, I have to send this to Jen. By the time that you, I just airdropped it to you. By the time that you leave it for an entire day, this is how it comes out of the pan. Yep. So I had to cut it in quarters in order to get it out of the pan, and it just totally flopped. But we ate it anyway, and it was delicious.
With a bundt cake, you got to get it out right away.
You do have to get it out right away. I learned that the hard way. So,
well, when I make my bundt cake,
right,
you get it out right away.
I get it out right away.
Right away.
Put it on a drying rack and then frost it immediately.
No, you have to let it cool. Well, otherwise, your frosting will melt to it. That's why you put it on
a rack.
And if you frost it immediately, it like melts into the cake.
But then you don't have the layer of frosting on the outside.
It's in the cake.
Hey, delicious.
Exhibit A. When exactly did you become an expert on bundt cake?
I'm not. I'm an expert on how to not get it out of the pan. But I do know how to frost something. Hopefully.
Frost it.
So I did go to the grocery store and I bought all the ingredients again, but I didn't want to make another one on Monday because I was like, we're just going to eat the one that flopped. And that's what we did. We ate the one that flopped and the boys thought it was delicious. So that was great. And I will make another one.
You know what you can do is you can make one next week and bring it in for the podcast.
I could.
Can you make
I do not have a keto version though. Yeah. Hmm. I'd have to look for a keto version. Hmm. I bet Kathy's looking for recipes right now. So
there we go.
Yeah. Might be able to come up with something.
Yeah, I had to forego my coconut cream pie from Friday night.
That's right. Yeah, spring fling was Friday night. And
that was tough.
You bought
that was...
the coconut cream pie and
Hey,
there's gave a praise it to the A-team.
Gave it to the A-team. So the A-team is enjoying the coconut cream pie today.
Yeah, how was spring fling?
Spring fling was great.
Yeah, I heard the youth raised quite a bit of money over their goal. And so thankful for generous people here at the church that are supporting our youth. And that money's going to go towards their mission trip this summer.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they're going to
Kansas
City. Nathan
gave a testimony.
He did.
He did such a good job.
He wrote it all on his own.
I was looking over at you to see if you were tearing up.
Gave his testimony and I did.
Did you cry?
Will you record this? I did not cry, but I knew I had to hold it together. So
did you get teary eyed?
But he did great. Yeah, a little bit. So
that's okay, your mom.
I know. It was really good.
There's nothing better than seeing your really kid good. Give a testimony about Jesus.
It was really good. So
awesome.
Yep, he talked about how Jesus changed his life on the last mission trip that they went on. And so the super interesting thing that he didn't necessarily talk about in his testimony with that, but he had done the fundraisers, like they had to help serve it, at Easter breakfast last year and the Run for Her Life race. And so he had done a lot of the fundraisers, but he was a freshman last year, so he wasn't supposed to go on the mission trip. And then they had some people drop out and they opened it up to kids who were freshmen going to be sophomores last year. Mm-hmm. So then he ended up being able to go. And so that was also just kind of another little interesting piece of his story in that, and then he shared how God changed his heart and it's been working in his life ever since. And it was very good. So
well, I'll have to watch the video because we didn't make it. So
we have a video thanks to Jen.
Good job Jen
I know she's like it's hard so to Jen's crying while you're crying. I might have snuck a peek and read it earlier and was, got emotional. And so, but it was good. He did a great job.
I got to go to Zach Williams on Friday.
Yeah, you did.
That was awesome.
How was the concert?
Oh, it was so good. That guy, he has an amazing testimony centered around a life of addiction, rock
incarceration
and roll band.
Too, right? Was he in jail for a while?
Or? He probably was. Or juvie or something. He didn't talk about that, but he got caught up in like a drug dealing ring in high school, which negated several Division I scholarships that he had for basketball. And
he's a big dude.
He is, and he was. I mean, he's got to be 6'4" or something like that. But he ended up walking on at a community college, getting a scholarship, but then shared that he got caught up in the same lifestyle of addiction and broke his ankle playing basketball, and for the first time picked up a guitar and said it just felt right. Then started to tour with a band, a rock and roll band in Europe, but said it felt emptiness, just couldn't couldn't be filled, living the same lifestyle. And he prayed to God, cried out to God, if you're real, you need to show me. Hmm. And he said he grew up in a really good Christian home, but just never surrendered his life to Christ. And he said they were on the tour bus and the guy driving stopped on a Big Daddy Weave song, Redeemed.
Hmm.
And he said, after that, like, I knew God was speaking to me, called my wife, told her I was coming home and we were going to find a church.
Hmm.
And then the crazy thing is, he said, after he got home, they started looking for a church. There just became a moment where he just fell to his knees in his closet and surrendered his life to Christ.
Hmm.
And he said he just felt this huge weight lifted off his shoulders. And he said, here's the craziest thing about it, is my wife came home from taking the kids to school, and I said, I need to tell you something. She says, I need to tell you something first. I just surrendered my life to Christ.
Hmm.
So the two of them share a same date.
Yeah, that's neat.
Surrendering life to Christ. And he said he just never looked back. And so he's only been walking with Christ for 10 years.
Hmm.
But to see how God has used his music, and
mm-hmm.
and it was so Jesus-centered. It was Christ-centered. You know, you never felt like, hey, look at me, I'm a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was all praise and glory, and it felt like worship. Mm. And it was just good.
Yeah.
So my wife and I got to go. We actually saw a couple people from church there. Or
good.
We didn't see a couple people from church. We saw a couple people from Newton, but there were some other people from church there.
And yep.
So it was just a good night to get away.
Good.
But you should have picked up a guitar when you broke your leg. You missed your chance.
There you go.
Yeah, I've tried to pick up a guitar a few times, and it ain't pretty. Air guitar, I can do.
Air guitar,
I cannot. You're
pretty
do.
Good on the air guitar, huh?
Yep. Yep, really good. Like, I'm really good at the air guitar. I never miss a note.
It's amazing how that works.
Well, hey, let's get into the message from Sunday. We continued in 2 Peter, starting with verse 12 and going through the end. And Marcy, you got your fancy note-taking machine there.
I do.
You could say her remarkable machine.
Remarkable. It is. It's remarkable.
It is remarkable.
Except now I'm not sure. It says press button to continue.
And technology.
Not going. So, yep.
So here's a question that Steve, you asked very early on. You talked about, am I a false believer or a false convert? And how do I know if I'm a false believer? And it's, by the way, I act. What do my actions reflect? And I would
make the argument that you don't really know until you're going into the process.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's part of the challenge. I think there's a little doubt in all of us whether or not we're the real deal. Mm. But I think that in itself, that continuous doubt is healthy. But
yeah.
But when you do have those opportunities to exercise faith and use the power, rely on the power of God, do you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a question. Or are you just religious?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's not by just how you act around other people. It's how you act behind closed doors.
Like, mm-hmm.
And if you want to know if you're the real deal or not, and you're married, ask your spouse.
Right.
Right. Because we talked about this before. They see the worst of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They see the best of us, but they also see the worst of us. And there is no facade. There is mm-hmm. no false front that you can just maintain forever. Once you get behind closed doors, like,
yeah,
they see the real you. And you know, my hope is that my wife would tell you, yeah, Aaron still has struggles. He still has sin he's working on that maybe other people mm-hmm. don't know, or, you know, and pride is one of those things that, you know, I get told I need to work on, but, you know, I would hope she'd say, man, he's had a transformational change in his life mm-hmm. over the last 5 or 10 years, and he is following Christ, mm-hmm. and this is what I see.
I also think that there's a you know, it's like that whole thing where you don't know that if you don't know.
Yes.
And so there's that idea that a lot of false teachers. I go back to what I said the week before last, where it's not that false teachers know they're false teachers.
Right.
There's just an element. There's an element of a lot of people that if they don't have the Spirit of the Lord, they just don't know that they don't know.
Right.
And so you're, if you are a person that has the Spirit of the Lord and you you have that guidance of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You have an understanding of the Word of God. Don't compromise.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people that just don't get it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that they won't.
Yeah.
It just means that they don't. And right. So there's so many Christians that are compromising. I just had a conversation. Well, you know I had a conversation with Kevin yesterday. He does not like the term Christian, even mm-hmm. though it was something that they began. It was kind of a derogatory term that they started using in Antioch to describe the believers in Antioch. But it's just a generic term now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, if you've ever gone to church, you're Christian.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, okay, so use the word disciple or follower of Christ.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that is a much better definition of what a true believer looks like. Mm-hmm. They are a disciple. They are a follower of Jesus.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that is a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we use the generic terminology.
Yeah.
And what does that even mean?
Mm-hmm.
That you're a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think you'd get 100,000 different answers if you ask 100,000.
Right. Which goes back
people.
To the define it, right?
Right.
That was
right.
Last week you talked about that. Like, how do yeah. you define that? And what does that mean to you?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And again, there should be some sort of, fruit that's being bore as mm-hmm. a believer in Christ and a follower of Christ. Like, our lives should reflect Christ, but we should also be bearing fruit mm-hmm. for others to enjoy. And, you know, I think you've said multiple times, Steve, what's the line that you use? If you want to tell if someone's a believer or not, look at the fruit. That
follow the fruit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're in this battle of influence, as you make decisions of who you're going to grant influence to, you kind of have to follow the fruit
yeah. mm-hmm.
because there are false teachers everywhere
mm-hmm.
yep. and they don't know that they're false teachers.
Right.
But look at their fruit produced over time.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that a person can't be an error and produce fruit, but they're not going to do it over time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's not going to be this process of who they are. And that's why, you know, when you start to put all these things together, you don't be impulsive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It, you know, being impulsive is just a bad idea. You know, at some point you've got to trust somebody and you got to exercise faith, but simultaneously you have to recognize that, you know, you just got to be cautious about getting swept up
mm-hmm.
in the emotion of something, some conversation or mm-hmm. some moment in time or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be careful with that.
And I think that, and it goes back to, too, of knowing what truth is, you know, and you said on Sunday, Steve, that like Peter and all the writers in scripture adhered to the truth and they didn't pull any punches about it.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. and you even went into since when has kind or being nice become yeah. a virtue?
Yeah.
Right.
It's not, but kindness is, and kindness at times means telling people the truth.
Right.
And so, you know, and I don't know. We're living in a time and a culture now where we're just so easily offended mm-hmm. and we don't want to have accountability. We don't want to be told when we're not doing what we should be doing. So we get offended, we disconnect, and then we go again to people that'll tell us what our itching ears want to hear
mm-hmm.
and won't hold us accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We'll let us do whatever we want to do. And so what is scripture? What is truth,
mm-hmm.
you know, and are we willing to hear it?
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing along with that, too, was one of the other texts that you used was from Luke, in the Luke 12 passage. And in that passage, you talked, too, about how, I mean, it just gives that warning of it's worse to know the truth and not do the truth than to not do the truth.
Right.
Or to not, I didn't say that right, to not know the truth and not live accordingly right. to it because you didn't know. And so, but I think too, I think that when you think about that passage, that's just a scary reality, right? Mm. And like, it's just when you think about people who you know and people in your life, and like, you want them to know the truth. And I think that when we have warnings like that in scripture, then, you know, that helps us too, also to be like,
yeah.
You need to know the truth and to not just be complacent in speaking truth in love, but to make sure that people
I remember,
do that
and
truth.
I'm not a big fan of the theology, but they're good books. But the Left Behind series, I remember reading those books, and when the rapture happens in the Left Behind, there was this pastor that didn't get raptured.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what it writes about the fact he knew that he wasn't a real Christian. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, as he looked about it, he was saddened by the fact that he wasn't raptured. But, mm-hmm. you know, as he looked about it, looked back at it, he realized he wasn't really living for Christ.
Right.
And, I mean, the good news is, of course, is that he does become a believer.
Right.
And again, while I have some issues theologically with those from a very deep level, at the same time, though, will be people that just don't know that they don't know.
Yeah.
And you know, that makes me nervous on a personal level, but it also, I'm constantly evaluating mm-hmm. where I'm at. I mean, do I get convicted of my sin?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do I get, you know, do I have a genuine desire to continue to try to grow and improve and mm-hmm. and do things better? Do I have a genuine desire for the lost to be found?
Right.
Right.
And,
right.
And for people to move into discipleship and for leaders to do great things for mm-hmm. for the kingdom's purpose and all those things. And those are all, I'm constantly evaluating my heart and where I'm at. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I'm not where I should be, but yeah. I think that awareness is part of the process too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty important. And, you know, especially this whole notion, I mean, the way Peter describes false teachers, that they're animals
mm-hmm.
and they should be destroyed.
Yeah.
And there's very little tolerance for people that don't know that they don't know,
mm-hmm.
you know? So be very cautious about that.
Yeah.
I think too, you know, you talked about Jesus's death on the cross, you know, he earned our sacrifice and our worship. And if we don't have a desire to sacrifice for Jesus, if we don't have a desire to worship him, if we don't have a desire to serve and evangelize and let other people know about him, we need to ask ourselves why.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not in this place? Like, and the answer probably is because we haven't died to ourselves yet.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, that's not to say that maybe you won't get to that point in the process of sanctification, but you should be heading in that direction.
Right. Do you want to get to that?
Do you want to get to that?
That's a question.
Yeah. No doubt. It's very sobering, but then at the same time, it's also helps you make sense of the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you as a leader, I see people on a track that's good
mm-hmm.
for a season.
Right.
And then something happens that completely derails that.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be very discouraging because you care about these people and, you know, maybe that's part of their process. Maybe mm-hmm. this is part of their ultimate testimony, but maybe just maybe, you know, this is, they're not going in a great direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know. It's weird when you say that I get conviction and encouragement simultaneously from the same text,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you do.
Mm-hmm.
You do run into people that are false converts, false teachers. You do run into people that want to gather for themselves a following
mm-hmm.
and they want to be highly regarded by others. And you run into people that just seem to be misled
mm-hmm.
all the time by these types of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the same thing that that followers of Christ
right.
have been dealing with from all the way back to the resurrection.
Right.
So.
Yep. Yeah.
What struck me.
The warnings in scripture.
And what struck me was the ultimate false teacher was Judas.
Mm-hmm.
And how he was with the disciples. He was living with Jesus, talking mm-hmm. to Jesus, walking with Jesus. And he was so legit that when Jesus said at the Last Supper, one of you is going to betray me, nobody thought it was Judas.
Right, nobody knew.
Nobody could point, yep.
Yep.
And that's the nature of a false teacher. I mean, mm-hmm. they just, it's so hidden
mm-hmm.
and it's so you know,
blend it in so well.
Yeah, and you wonder at what point Judas started to go down that path.
Mm-hmm.
We know scripturally, you know, there was a point where Satan entered him,
mm-hmm.
and that was the point where he agreed,
right,
finally to betray Jesus and turn him into the Sanhedrin. But, you know, obviously there was stuff before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think one of the powerful things from your message, too, was even that comparison between Judas and Peter. And yeah. So just looking at how Peter did deny Jesus, but Peter turned back.
Right.
And so it's that place, too, where, you know, if we feel like we have denied Jesus in some way, like, we just need to repent and turn back to him and mm-hmm. not continue down the path that we have been on, because that's what Judas did that ultimately led to destruction. Mm-hmm. And so
a true convert
right.
can make mistakes.
Yep. Yeah.
But they always come back to Jesus.
Yeah.
And they repent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. A false convert doubles down.
Right.
When they go in a wrong direction,
mm-hmm.
and they just
right.
It's like they're on that path to destruction, as it's described in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than, I mean, it's almost like they just pin their ears back and they go.
Yeah.
As you guys are sitting here talking about Judas, it's because in your message on Sunday you talked about greed mm-hmm. as well,
I was
and
just
Judas
looking at that too.
I think there's scripture that points to Judas was in charge of the money,
yeah,
for the disciples, right? And is it possible that the sin of greed was what Satan used to enter him? Because we know also that, you know, Judas took what, 30 pieces of silver from the Sanhedrin or from the Pharisees.
Yeah, he chastised Mary for anointing Jesus with oil.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
because it was expensive.
It was expensive,
oil.
Right?
Yeah,
and so. You know, I think especially in, it's amazing, even back in that culture, how money and greed, you know, pulled people away from Christ. And we see that today, especially in American culture.
Oh, yeah.
Money and stuff mm-hmm. and greed. I mean, you know, I lived a moment in my life, and, you know, you've shared a little bit about your testimony too, but like there was never enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was never, it was always, you know, the next $1,000 I could make, the next, you know, thing I could buy, the next, you know, way I could spend my money. And it was never enough. And it got to the point where I literally had nothing saving because I was spending it all and squandering it on garbage that didn't matter.
And things you had to maintain probably.
Yeah, exactly. But yet... After Trish and I start going to church and we make this decision to tithe and, you know, and we don't have a lot of money, and it's like, well, you're making even less money now because you're working for the church. So how is this going to work? But yet the more we gave and the more obedient we were, it's like, A, we got a freedom
yeah.
from money and stuff. But we also, it's like we've saved more money now.
Yeah, it's weird. It's, you know, and so I'm not a wealth and prosperity preacher. However, and I, you know, I mean, things work out differently for different people. It all kind of depends on what God's doing in your life. But, I mean, I talk to so many people that when they begin to honor God with mm-hmm. their finances, it's like that miracle of multiplication
right,
in yeah. a weird way. It's like the more money, and maybe not the more money, but if I'm faithful with mm-hmm. what God gives yeah. me,
right.
it's like his provision goes further.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we're being stewards of what is his and yeah. what he's given us. Right. I have a friend who goes to church here, and he said, and he's a well-to-do businessman. And he said, my accountant looked at me and he said, I don't understand this. I don't understand how you can give so much money away. Like these numbers just aren't adding up to me of how you're able to do this. Yeah. And, you know, he gives all praise and glory to God.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's...
Man, once you get to that point in life, you've never heard anybody say, I really regret
right.
tithing.
Yeah.
Right.
There's so much blessing in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you tell people that and they all kind of look at you like, yeah, easy for you to say. You work for a church and,
mm-hmm.
you know, obviously I don't know, a church person doesn't want more money. And it's like, well, okay, there's a practical reality that as a church, you need a certain amount of money to operate.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really feel that strongly about it, give it somewhere else.
Right.
And I've said that time and time again. You don't have to get now. I give it to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And now it doesn't mean I don't give to other things, but you know, I truly believe that generosity doesn't begin until after the tithe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that's subject to interpretation. Mm-hmm. That's my position. So I tithe to the church, and then everything else falls into the category of generosity.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's just kind of a personal view. But I do think I'm not doing this legalistically because I want something from
right.
God.
Right.
I truly am trying to protect myself from greediness.
Right. Right.
But you're also doing it because it's a heart change, and you like you want to do that. It's not that you have to do it. It's like you get to do this.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other thing is, too, is, okay, so kind of to take it a step further, there is freedom. You mentioned freedom in giving your first fruits to God, and then depending on what there is after that, you want to take mm-hmm. your kids on a vacation, you want to buy a new car. I mean, whatever mm-hmm. it is that you live life as, you really don't have to battle that idea of, oh, you know, should right. I be doing this? We got people starving in Haiti.
Right.
You know, how do I live my life and how do I do these things? And, mm-hmm. you know, God wants you to have, I mean, he wants you to, he gives you that provision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the flip side of the health and prosperity false gospel is the poverty and suffering
mm-hmm.
false gospel, which is, you know, you're supposed to be suffering and poor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That God doesn't actually like people with wealth. It's like, well, God gave you.
Right.
So you're always trying to find that balance in life. And the point is in the midst of all of that, you just want to fight off greediness.
Yep.
Yeah. And make sure, because that can be something the enemy uses
mm-hmm.
to get you off course.
Yeah.
And listen to the Holy Spirit.
Like, yep.
The Holy Spirit, I can't tell you how many times my wife and I have had the Holy Spirit call us to give to something. And in fact, when I was going to Uganda, I had a girl from this church show up at my door. Mm-hmm. And she said, God told me to give towards your trip. And she was just mm-hmm. in tears,
mm-hmm.
bawling.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I felt this call to do this. And this is for you to use towards your trip to go on a mission. And
mm-hmm.
she obediently gave, and I think it was life-changing for her because mm-hmm. other things happened where she later ended up going to Uganda. And mm-hmm. I mean, it just, yeah, listen to the Holy Spirit because he may call you to give somewhere right. where you're not expecting. And it's a blessing to be
Absolutely.
A blessing.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep.
Anything else?
The
three C's?
Yeah. I got to get there. The three C's.
Character, creed, and converts.
Yep. That's right.
Do you want to go into that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, so what are you looking for in people? You're looking for, you know, character played out over time, mm-hmm. Not just false words that somebody says. What do they believe mm-hmm. in? You know, I think in Vantage Point 3, they talk about your declared values versus your actual values.
Right.
You want them in line with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're moving on this congruency, where they're becoming in line.
Right. So you're actually like, doing what you yeah. say you believe.
Yeah. You know, yeah. you meet those people that they mm-hmm. declare one thing and you're just sitting there going, you're so full of it.
Right.
I mean, do you actually believe that? I mean, because mm-hmm. your actions don't meet up with that. So that's character. You want to mm-hmm. see some kind of a degree of congruency in you know, kind of their godly character being developed. The other one is creed. Mm-hmm. It's like it's that idea of the words that they use, and it kind of flows with character. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus says it's what comes out of you that defiles you, mm-hmm. right? It's what comes out of your mouth mm-hmm. that defiles you, and so that's a big part of it. And then, of course, you know, converts falls under that fruit category.
Mm-hmm.
Are people coming to know Jesus under their teaching and their leading? Mm-hmm. You know, or what? So we know people of influence that you know, over years, have you, I mean, I wouldn't, I'm not quite ready to label them as a false teacher, but I would probably label them as a blind guide. Mm-hmm. Have you seen anybody come to know Jesus? Mm-hmm. Or are they just use their words to kind of misguide people? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just all part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you got these true teachers that they just want people to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that's just vitally important. Are they creating converts? Or are lives being changed by their influence? Mm-hmm. So.
Good message.
It's good. Yep. Yeah.
Next week, we're in 2 Peter 3.
We are. Any previews for next week?
Peter starts talking about the end times.
That's going to be good.
Yeah.
The day of the Lord is coming is the title.
Yeah. Yeah. That fearful day. So he talks about Jesus false teachers and how they're going to be destroyed. And then he talks about the return of Christ and basically how things that aren't true are going to be burned up. And hey, you know what? Lent is not warm and fuzzy season.
It's true.
Lent is, you know, it's a season of repentance and reflection and understanding the magnitude of the crucifixion.
Yep.
And that's what Lent is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody wants this encouraging message that is just like, oh yeah, you know, mm-hmm. Jesus loves you. And he does. Mm-hmm. But then there's that underlying layer mm-hmm. that, you know, if you don't surrender your life to Christ, right. it's not good.
Right.
Right.
Your sin has
if you're
to be
living
dealt with.
A self-indulgent, selfish life, that's not a good thing. It's right. very, very bad mm-hmm. from an eternal perspective. Mm-hmm. So got to have those conversations. I find that stuff. I find it extremely motivating for me mm-hmm. personally. It's like this reminder that someday it's going to end and you know, mm-hmm. you got to run hard until then.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Have you ever, speaking of running hard, have you ever, you know, as a pastor, you get to do times with families where people are basically living their last days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever met a family of a believer or a believer that has said, man, I wish I just hadn't followed Jesus so much?
No.
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 It's just the contrary. I've seen people that wish they'd done more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, at that point in life. You know, I've seen people that are terrified at the end of their lives. And then I've seen other people that are like, you know what? I ran the race. I kept the faith.
Yep.
You know, I finished the race and they just have that contentment that goes with not living a perfect life, but living a faithful life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's who I want to be.
Right.
You know, I don't want to sit there and say, ugh.
Right.
Man, I wish I'd done something differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I take it a step further because for me, it's just not a matter of getting to heaven. It's a matter of me looking other people in the eye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you see a guy like Peter that, you know, according to legend, he was leaving Rome and the Holy Spirit said, turn around. And he went back to Rome in which he was captured for the final time and he was crucified upside down and all these things. And how do I sit and look at Peter in the face mm-hmm. knowing that every opportunity I had to sacrifice, I wimped out.
Right.
And I, just on a personal level, that motivates me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
So here's what I would say. If you're listening and you're at this point in your life and if you were to die tomorrow, to know you were going to die, can you look and say, man, I ran my race well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you can't, let us help you. Mm-hmm. Let us meet with you. Let us pray for you. Let us help you get connected here to grow through discipleship classes, to learn how you can serve the kingdom of God and start that race. Or maybe run with you instead of walk or not be in the race at all. So I just want to encourage you to really reflect, am I running the race? I was going to say, and do I even want to?
Right.
Right.
I'd throw it out there too and say, you know, false teachers are not false pastors. You know, so if you're a person that's had conversations and the fruit of your conversation is that people are more confused and have they walked away from church? Have your conversations created division? Mm-hmm. Have they created frustration with people? You know, what is the fruit right. of your influence? If it's bad, mm-hmm. you better take that seriously.
Yeah.
Because God, you know, it's a big deal. Doesn't mean that if you've had real conversations with people and they've ended poorly, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't have truthful conversations with people. Right. But just think about it. Think mm-hmm. about, you know, am I a uniter or am I a divider? Mm-hmm. Am I a person that creates clarity or do I create confusion? Mm-hmm. You know, what are you doing? And don't sit there and think for a moment that if you're influencing people in a bad way, that doesn't make you a false teacher. Mm-hmm. It does. Mm-hmm. And just take that very, very seriously. I would mm-hmm. urge people to consider how they're using their influence.
Yep. Yeah,
absolutely.
So
that's good.
All right. Marcy, what do you got for us?
Announcements.
Oh, we're going straight to announcements.
Are we going to part? What are we going to talk about, Aaron?
Well, I thought you had a part three for
I
us.
Don't have a part two. I don't part have a part three. Two. I have announcements for part three.
Oh. Baking with Marcy.
I already talked about
we
that.
We talked. Part two is part one.
Oh.
There we go. Unless you have something else you want to talk about.
I don't know.
Anyone?
I don't have anything else. Let's go into announcements. Good job.
Are we ready for
take
announcements?
Take it away, Marcy.
Announcements!
Thumbs up from the guy on your shirt.
What's that?
The thumbs up from the guy on your shirt.
That's right. So today is Wednesday, and it's youth. Middle school, high school youth meet tonight. We had Spring Fling last Friday, and we talked about that. And thank you to everybody who gave so generously mm-hmm. at Spring Fling. And our high school youth get to go on the mission trip. And so it's going to be a good time, and they'll be able to see how God's worked through all of that. So we thank you for all of your donations there. And then tomorrow is men's and women's ministry. Women's ministry meets in the morning and the evening. Men's ministry, I believe, is still in the study on the four gospels. So they're studying through all of the stories that are in all of the four gospels. And that's the series that they have been going through. And then Friday is Operation Finding Freedom.
Yep.
Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Veterans are going to be meeting, and we had a good sized group last month, and we're going to be meeting again and just having some fellowship and having a little teaching and discussion on something. I don't know what yet, but
something that will point you to Jesus.
I will put something together.
It'll be something from the Bible.
That's
and
right.
It will be. And we always relate it to service, you know, military service and, you know, and we reflect and look at how the military influenced their lives and mm-hmm. Can be related even to scripture. So mm-hmm. we'll have something. Invite a veteran. If you are a veteran, you are welcome to come and join us for fellowship.
Very good. So that is this Friday and every first Friday of the month. And then Sunday, we have services at 9 and 11. Children's ministry during the 9 o'clock service. Nursery is open during both. And we would love for you to join us for a Sunday service. And then Monday, we actually have a lot of things coming up on Monday. So Mondays, the first Mondays with Mamas is this coming Monday, April 4. And they meet at 9:30 in the morning in the new nursery. And so if you are a mom with little ones, we would love for you to join us on Monday morning. Bring your little ones in and just have a good time of fellowship and getting together, and kids get to play and you get to talk to other moms. And then Monday night, our parenting class continues. I believe they'll be in week 3 this week. And we also are starting Grief Share and an ethics class. And so Grief Share and ethics will both be starting this coming Monday. And if you are interested in taking either of those classes, you can register online and find more information there as well. So that's this coming Monday. And then we have some things coming up. The Women's Ministry Conference is Saturday, April 30th. You can find more information about that online as well and register there.
Can we touch on that real quick?
Sure.
So I heard there's some special things that are going to be going
there's
on.
There's all kinds of special things.
You ladies, right. when you guys put together a conference, you do it right.
We do spoil the women.
Man, oh man.
Yep.
You get all these.
They need a little spoiling.
Is there a goodie bag that's... What are they
we're doing
call
something
it?
A little different
Chick
this
merch.
Year. Wow. That's impressive, Steve. We're doing something a little different this year.
Some people don't like the terminology chick.
There will still be a little something for every person, but it's going to be a little bit different.
It's not going to be in a bag.
It's not going to be in a bag.
Is it going to be in a satchel? A fanny pack?
You can bring your own satchel or a fanny pack.
I can come?
You have to stay upstairs.
All the dudes will be hanging out upstairs in the tech room.
Drinking Keurig coffee.
You can go get a fancy coffee.
You're going to have fancy coffee?
I don't know. Are we supposed to talk about that yet? Maybe. We'll talk about it.
You know
so
what?
So we are going to have fancy coffee. And we are bringing in a lady who has fancy coffee. Steve's laughing.
How do you define, what is a fancy coffee? Is that anything other
Folgers.
Than just
espresso? Espresso.
Gourmet.
Espresso. Gourmet. Gourmet. Gourmet coffee.
So I can, I can't. But if you're a woman that's looking to come, you can get a latte.
For free. That's
for
right.
Free.
Yes, it's included in the price of your ticket.
That's a latte.
Right. So wow. So
dad jokes.
That's right. Dad jokes. Yep. Yeah.
Man.
So it's included in the price of your ticket, and she'll be there for 2 hours in the morning, so you can come, get signed in, get checked in, and
I'll probably have to check to see if Tracy needs help with security that
coffee.
Day.
Coffee, yes.
I'll come check.
So I'm sure that Tracy will need help with security.
The male staffers that are going to be present in the building during that, we can get that coffee too.
Yes. Okay. I'll let you. Yeah, sneak down there.
That will be explained to her so we don't have to like create an incident.
Explain why you're there.
We can start getting people coming off the street going, I hear there's fancy coffee here.
Hey, whatever it takes to get them in the doors, right? To tell them about Jesus.
Yeah, I don't even think they necessarily know about that. So it's kind of an extra little perk.
Little perk.
That's right. It's going to be good.
Percolate on that for a while.
Yep, that's right. Yep. So the conference is coming up and it's going to be great. A month from today. Is it the 30th today? It is the 30th today.
Yeah.
Yes.
Today after
it
my
is
dad's
a
birthday.
Month. My birthday was 2 days ago. Clearly, I should know this. It's a month from today, only it is on a Saturday. So
that'll be good. Trish is going. So
yeah,
I'll be watching kids.
Great day. Yes. Not helping with security, huh?
Yeah,
watching kids.
Might lock them in the van and
go get your coffee. Wait, I have to go get
It'll
a coffee.
It'll still be cool enough then that they can hang out in the van.
They'll be okay.
We got a sunroof. We'll open the sunroof.
Do you have the little video things in the back seats?
No. Nope. No. That was
not that fancy.
Do you think they're going to be able to stay in the van when they have the park right across the street that they can... With a zip line?
Could
probably
just
not.
Drop them at the park. And
have you ever gotten on the zip line at that
I
park?
I have, yeah.
I'm wondering if I ground out if I did that.
Maybe.
I think if you stand up on it, you bear it.
Okay. Well,
we can ask Nick.
I haven't tried it. I'm thinking maybe I'll have to try it.
Maybe that will be podcast 150.
Ooh.
150th episode.
Live from
that
the park.
Would be amazing. That's right.
I did the real zip line.
To throw axes when you can go on the zip
over
line.
A jungle in Belize.
Have you seen the video of the kid on the zip line where there's a sloth hanging from it?
Uh-uh.
And he runs into the sloth and sloth winds up crawling on him?
No.
Yeah.
That'd be creepy.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of creepy. Well,
anyway. Zip line story for you.
There we go.
Squirrel.
Okay. Back to announcements. So the other thing I want to let people know about is that during the Lent season on Good Friday, we have a Good Friday service at 7 o'clock on Good Friday, but also we're going to be doing Stations of the Cross. And so that will be over in the Discipleship Center. And we would like for people to go and register for a time slot so that we can space people out to make it through all of those stations. And it is a great opportunity for parents with kids. And so we would love for you to bring your kids, go through the Stations of the Cross as a family. It's experiential is what I would call it. And so there's a station with something for you to do with your kids at each of the stations. And I think it's going to be a really great opportunity. And I don't want families to miss out on that. So we're having the Stations of the Cross before the Good Friday service so that you can come and go to the Stations of the Cross and then go to the Good Friday service that evening. So we would love for you to join us. You can sign up in a time slot on the website, and
so Good Friday. Good Friday is 3 weeks from Friday.
It is.
It's hard to
three or
April
two.
15.
2 weeks from this Friday.
Friday, April 15th.
Oh, it's two weeks from Friday. That's right. Three Sundays left. Yeah, so we got two Sundays in Lent, and then the third Sunday is Easter.
Right. We have this Sunday, and then Palm Sunday, and then Easter Sunday. Is that right? Did I miss a Sunday?
Yeah, no. Well, that's right. Isn't it? It's hard to believe.
Sunday,
how fast.
April 10 is Palm Sunday. Good Friday is Friday, April 15th. Then that is the night that is also the Stations of the Cross. And then Easter that's Sunday right. is Sunday, April 17th, with services at 9 and 11. And a pancake breakfast from 8 to 10:30 with delicious pancakes.
Yeah.
If you love pancakes, this is the place to go to.
I should
pancakes.
Also say and remind people so that they have a couple weeks to get ready for it. But, you know, we started last year, men wear Hawaiian shirts.
Yes, wear your Hawaiian shirt.
Wear Hawaiian shirts on Easter Sunday.
Yep. Yeah.
So
wear a Hawaiian shirt, go eat pancakes, and
it's a celebration.
Come celebrate that Jesus is risen. Get here early. And get here early.
Tell you what, it's been the 9 o'clock service has been getting more and more full.
Yeah.
Oh, both of them have. And it's you know, for the longest time the 11 o'clock I think was more sparse.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people liked that because maybe if you didn't like the crowd, you would go to the 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, there's definitely been definitely been an increase in attendance, which so it's exciting. And it's new people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so awesome.
It is.
Yeah.
So many new people. If you're a new person,
welcome.
If you've been attending the way and we're just thrilled that you're joining us. So
absolutely.
That's good.
Anything else?
That's all I've got.
Good job, Marcy.
That's
thumbs up. Steve gives you a fist bump.
Didn't miss anything.
I gave you the thumbs up. You're good.
Great. Okay. You'll tell me later.
Yeah.
Oh, here's all the things you missed.
All right.
Blessings. 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 We love you guys. Don't hesitate to reach out, and hopefully we'll see you on Sunday.
Blessings. Bye.